If you've been paying attention to the gospel readings of the last couple weeks, you've probably noticed a few things. First, we haven't used the same book each week. We started with Matthew on Easter Sunday, heard from John last week, and today we're getting Luke's take on things. What each of these, and Mark, have in common is the women being the first to discover and declare Jesus' resurrection. While the exact group of women, and sometimes there are men, changes with each book, Mary of Magdala remains constant and is always the first to know. Now, I stress the women here, and Mary M. in particular, because in the stories that come after, the women are kind of forgotten or otherwise dismissed. Remember last week, Jesus got kind of sassy with Thomas for not believing the guys until he saw Jesus a week later. But Jesus never mentioned anything to the other 10 disciples about not believing the women from that same morning. So, you may have noticed that there is a lot going on that first day too, and that each writer has a slightly different version of these events. But, you know, so would we if, like the gospel writers, we hadn't actually witnessed them and we were writing about these things 70 to 150 years later. And that's okay, because each of these stories, while not literally true, the play-by-play of the day, they each present, at their essence, some truth, some lesson for us to know. And so today, we consider Luke's understanding of events and what it is that he wants us to get. In the first 12 verses of Luke's 24th chapter, what we didn't read today, the women did not see Jesus, but two men in dazzling clothes who remind them what Jesus had told him while he was alive. And they believe in the risen life without seeing and run to the remaining 11 disciples. But believing it to be an idle tale of women, the men don't believe, and Peter does go back to the tomb. He sees the linen clothes on their own in the tomb and is amazed at what has happened. Then we have today's longer reading, and we start with two guys taking a short, easy 7-mile stroll from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They are weighed down by grief and disappointment. Their friend, their close and intimate friend, whom they had followed around for the last 3 years, whom they believed was going to liberate them and their people from Roman occupation, has been killed by their religious leaders in the government. And now, 3 days later, their friend's body has disappeared, and some of the women in their group are claiming that he has come back to life. But that can't possibly be true. No one comes back from being dead, especially the gruesome death of crucifixion. Needless to say, there's a lot of talk about what's happened as they head out of Dodge. As they walk along, they are joined by a stranger who claims not to know what has just transpired in the last 3 days. And so they tell him their version of events, only to be rebuked by this same unknowing stranger for their lack of understanding. Then he gives them a lesson in scripture and prophecy beginning with Moses. And they are so absorbed in the stranger's teaching that they reach their destination and beckon him to come inside with them for the night. It's dark, it's time to be inside, and he's giving them so much. Now at this point, I'm gonna take a break from our biblical story to tell you about my college roommate, Teresa. Teresa was, and I'm sure still is, though I haven't heard anything from her in probably a decade. Anyway, she's one of the most generous and selfless people I've ever known, and probably will ever know. She's the type who would actually give you her last or her only shirt or pants or shoes or whatever, and then think about herself later when she was cold. In the summer, shortly after we had graduated, we were still living in our weird little cabin in the woods about a quarter mile off campus. It was the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Weird things happen. Anyway, we were headed out for a little hike up one of the local mountains. And we stopped at a gas station. When she came back from paying inside, she had some strange guy with her. He looked and kind of smelled like someone who didn't have any regular housing. And he needed a ride to, I don't remember where, somewhere not far. And so we gave him that ride. short, idle conversation about who even knows what anymore. We drop him off. We go on our way. We start joking about the risk we had just taken about picking up a hitchhiker. There is a prison or two on the outskirts of town, and even if we weren't considering the prison, we're a couple of young women, and we're told that you shouldn't pick up hitchhikers, especially strange guys, because that's really unsafe. But, you know, we were lucky, I guess. Now, Teresa, who has no religious upbringing, no interest in faith or organized religion, says the reason she offered this guy a ride, he had apparently asked others and had been rejected, is that as a child, someone had told her, you should be nice to people and offer them help because you never know when it's going to be Jesus. And just in case this Jesus thing or any other religion is true, she would do anything that she could, you know, like spiders. She hated spiders, was afraid of them, but would do everything that she could to get them out, just in case, you know, she might be reincarnated as a spider. Anyway, she lived out this idea of helping anyone that she could because you never knew when it was going to be Jesus. So back to our wandering disciples. They've taken this stranger inside for the night. Another thing that you're usually taught not to do so much these days. And they're gathered around a table eating dinner. Nothing fancy, usual kind of stuff. And then in this mundane and everyday meal, the ritual act of blessing and breaking bread reveals to them who the stranger among them is. It's their friend that they've been mourning. And then he disappears. And they are left to write their kind of revisionist history. Oh, I felt my heart burning within me as he talked to us. Oh, yes, I did too. But now that they've seen with their own eyes, they immediately go back 7 miles in the dark, which, you know, may not be the safest thing to do. But they have to share this extraordinary thing that they've just witnessed. The Lord has risen indeed and appeared to Simon. Simon. Simon! Not Mary M. and the other women who saw it and declared it first. Simon. All right, not the point, I know. The disciples recognized Jesus and the stranger who broke bread with them, and they were reminded of their last night with him. The ordinary act of eating and drinking together, the simple staples of the dinner table, have now become our sacred meal, our reminder that Jesus is always with us in life, in death, and in new life. What we have in this story, in this Easter season, and what my friend Teresa is all about, is seeing Jesus in the stranger. I invite you to take a moment and think about the strangers, the stranger Jesuses that you have met. Amen.